Father, you said in your word that as the rain cometh down from above and watereth the earth and returneth not thither, but causeth the earth to bringeth forth and bud. You said, so shall the word be that goeth forth out of your mouth. That when the word of God would go forth, that it would not return void, but that it would prosper and it would accomplish that which you intended. We believe that, Father. We believe that your word is spirit and it's life. We believe that as we read it, as we hear it, it's not just the letter, but it's the spirit. We know that your word is your power. And as we declare your word, it ministers to the hearts of men and the hearts of women and is not void. We know, our Father, you have a purpose for this particular word tonight. We minister it in faith, believing that you will do what you promised, and that is prosper it and cause it to accomplish your good purpose. We rest peacefully and with assurance in that promise. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of ministering your word. And I ask you, Lord, to cause it to come through loud and clear, without any opinions, without any shades or shadows, but as it is, the clear, sure, pure, and faithful and eternal Word of the living God. We trust you to do that, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've been singing here this evening in the last few minutes, and we've been singing our praises to the Lord Jesus. We've been worshiping and adoring Him and His name. But what kind of a guy really is this Jesus? Is he really who he said he was? Is he really and truly God in the flesh? Does he really love me? Does he really love you? Does he really know who I am? Does he really know my heart? Does he really know you? This story out of the 10th chapter of Mark, I think, will give us some insight. Beginning to read at the 17th verse. And when he, that is Jesus, was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not kill, or do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. He answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. This next phrase, I think, is one of my favorites out of God's Word. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Here's a man, a young man. From other passages in the Scripture, we know this man to be a nobleman, to be a ruler in his home area, to be a man of great wealth and possession and power. But he was a man that in his heart and in his life was trying the best way he knew how to serve God. He heard about this man, Jesus. Jesus was going around healing the sick. He was causing the cripples to walk. He was causing the blind to see. He even raised up a widow's son at a funeral. I was thinking about the Lord this afternoon, about the only funerals God or the only funerals that Jesus ever went to. He raised the funeralee. Hallelujah. He went to Lazarus' funeral, he raised Lazarus. He went to the city of Nain, and they were about to bury the widow's son, he raised him. He went to Jairus' house, and Jairus' daughter just died. They didn't have opportunity to make funeral arrangements, and he raised her. Everywhere Jesus went, life followed him. Death couldn't stand. Life followed him. This nobleman heard about this man, Jesus. Surely, he said, this must be a man of God. Because a man wouldn't do those kinds of things unless he knew God, unless he was close to God. Surely this is the Messiah. Surely this is the one that we've been waiting for. Surely this is the one that'll give me the answers that I've been looking for. How can I come to God? How can I really know God personally? How can I receive everlasting life? How can I know for sure that my life pleases God? How can I have peace inside my heart? And he came to him and he said, good master, what must I do to receive eternal life? Jesus took his temperature. And he said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not one another. Because a man doing those kinds of things cannot please God. He said, master, I've done all those things. I've never done those kind of bad things. I've always obeyed the law of God. I've lived a good life. I've never killed anybody. I've never stolen from anyone. I've never committed adultery. I've never borne false witness. I've lived a good, clean life. The scripture says Jesus looked on him and loved him. He looked inside his heart. He looked deep down in his spirit, where no man sees, only God sees at that level. You and I can't see in there, but God Almighty sees, and Jesus is God in the flesh. He sees, and he knows, and he looked on that man, and he loved him. And he said, one thing yet ye lack. And he said, you must sell all that you have, all your possessions, and take up the cross and follow me. Have you wondered how you would answer that? God ever said that to you? How would you respond to that? Suppose Jesus were here tonight and he said, if you really want eternal life, if you really want to live forever with God, that's what eternal life is. Now understand this. The Bible's clear on this. Every one of you are going to live forever in the Spirit. This body is going to die. The book of James says that the body without the Spirit is dead. When your spirit leaves your body is going to die. It's going to go into the grave and it's going to turn to dust. But the eternal you, your spirit, is going to live on forever. You're going to have an eternal existence. From the minute you came into existence, you're going to exist eternally. When you leave this body, when physical death overtakes this body, you will either enjoy eternal life, that is life with God, or you will endure eternal death. And that is existence with Satan in the place that was prepared for him and for his angels. You're not going to cease to exist when you die. You're just going to pass into another existence, either life or death, depending on what you're living in this life. This man said, how can I have eternal life? How can I know that I'm going to live with God forever? Jesus said, you must sell everything you have. You have turned your back on all of that. Take up my cross and follow after me. Follow after me. The scripture says the man was sad and grieved. He turned and walked away because he had many possessions. Now there are many who take that passage of scripture and declare that in order to be a Christian, you must declare a vow of poverty. If you're going to truly follow Jesus Christ, you must declare to be in poverty and sell all that you have. And this particular passage of scripture, misunderstood and mispreached by many, have kept many men and women out of the kingdom of God because they did not understand it. That's very confusing to me. If Jesus didn't want anybody to have anything, that a few verses down in the 29th verse, Jesus answered and said unto Peter, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but that he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. Not in glory, but now in this time. And houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, people won't like you, and in the world to come, eternal life. Now it would seem strange to me that Jesus would tell the man in one verse, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and 10 verses later say that anybody who has ever given up anything for the kingdom of God, that God Almighty will restore it to him 100-fold in this life and give him everlasting life also. If God in Christ Jesus was calling every Christian to be in poverty, he sure was speaking out of both sides of his mouth at one time, wasn't he, in this passage? It can't mean that. It's impossible for it to mean that. Why then would Jesus say, sell all that you have and give it to the poor? On June the 3rd, 1976, I was somewhat like this man, except I was born again. I did know Jesus Christ as my Savior. He was the Lord of my life. I had been born again. I had received His Spirit into my spirit. I knew that my eternal future was secure, but I was seeking after God for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I wanted all that God had. I was seeking Him for His fullness. I knew there was more to the Christian life, and I didn't have it, and I wanted it. And about 10 o'clock or 10:30 in the morning of June the 3rd, 1976, God spoke to me, and He said, son, you must be willing to give up everything you have. Now, I was standing in my office. I have a business that's a very successful business. I was standing right in the middle of that. I was standing right in the middle of my possessions, if you will. I knew when God spoke to me that what He meant was I had to give my business up, my income up, my position up, and even my lovely family. Now, don't ask me how I knew that. I just knew it. That when He spoke those words to me, He's saying, son, will you give it all up and take up the cross and follow me? Now, if you've never been asked that question, you don't really know how you'd respond to it. You may think you know, but you don't know. But I'll tell you this. If you respond to it the way God wants you to respond to it, you'll never, ever be sorry. This poor, rich man died. They probably buried him in a gold lamé suit. They probably laid him to rest in a pure gold coffin. While they mourned his body as it was laid into the grave, his spirit was in the pits, where it will be forever. When God asked me that question, I just knew that I would give it up. And I said, Lord, I'm willing to give it all up. And I really meant it. Down here. Not up here. Down here. And the Lord spoke back to me and he said, I don't want you to give it up. I just want you to be willing. I just want you to be willing. I just want you to be willing. Jesus said in John the 10th chapter, the 10th verse, the thief cometh but to steal and kill and destroy. But I am come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. I want you to know that Jesus is not the taker. Hallelujah. He'll take your sin away. He'll take the condemnation away. He will take the judgment of eternal death away. He will take agony away. He will take misery away. He will take infirmity away. He'll restore to you health, wealth, peace, wisdom, and the joys of everlasting life. That's our Jesus. That's our Jesus. This man unfortunately went away sorrowful, because he had many possessions. I have felt from time to time the way I feel that Jesus must have felt that day, and I know that many of you have as well. When you've shared the good news of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and seen a man or seen a woman turn his back on Jesus. Say, no, I don't think I want that. I think I'm going to come to God my own way. I think I'll come in this direction over here. I'm going to come in with my successful life. Or I'm going to come in with this other technique. Or I'm going to come in through my grandfather. Or I'm going to come in through Confucius or Buddha. Jesus Christ of Nazareth said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except by me. Now, whatever way any man or woman intends to come unto God, if it is not through Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he will not come. He will come to the end of his days. Life will come out of his body. His body will go into the grave and it will decay. And his spirit will go before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Jesus told his disciples, everybody who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. It's not enough just to hear the word. It's not enough to just know what to do. Jesus said to this man, sell all that you have and take up the cross and follow me. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Follow after me. Following after your own way is going to lead to death. Eternal and forever death. Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Now, any man or any woman or any young person that thinks that they can follow the Water of Life Christian Center into eternity is due for a sad disappointment. Anyone that thinks they can follow First Methodist Church into glory is in for a sad disappointment. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. It's not religion that's the way. For goodness sakes, the world is full of religion. It's a man.
It's a man. He's the way. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come and follow me, he said. Come and follow me. It's not enough not to kill somebody. It's not enough not to commit adultery. It's not enough not to bear false witness. It's not enough to do all these good works. Good though they may be, it will not get the job done.
I can tell you this from the Word of God, that hell tonight is full of well-intentioned religious people. Well-intentioned religious people who did not follow Jesus, who did not meet Jesus, who did not come into the kingdom through Jesus Christ. There's only one way. There's only one way. The devil has caused to go forth in these last days many deceiving spirits who will tell you and tell your friends and your family that there are many optional ways. And that as long as a man's got some religion, that's good, as long as he's happy with it. I used to think that. Boy, was I dumb. I used to believe that. I don't believe it anymore. If you've got a religion, sister, and it is not based on Jesus Christ of Nazareth, if you've not received him into your heart as Lord and Savior, your religion will not do you any good. Excuse me for shouting, but it's the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way. Now, I want you to know this too, brothers and sisters. God is not establishing any new ways in these last days. Some have said, well, Jesus was a good way back then. That was God's way back then. But now there's another way. There aren't any other ways. There never was any other way. There was only one. There was only one. There was only one. There was only one. And there's still only one. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He is God's holy Son. He is God Almighty in the flesh. He's not just another man. He's God Almighty. And he is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that believe in him. Now, it took me 37 years to find that out. I don't know if anybody ever told me as clearly as I'm telling you tonight. I don't know if I ever heard it that simply. If I did, I couldn't understand it. I couldn't receive it. The Bible is not a complicated book. Jesus said, forsake everything in which you are now putting your trust. If you're putting trust in a religion, if you're putting trust in another God, if you're putting trust in your wife's faith or your husband's faith or your father's relationship with God, if you're putting your trust in your money, if you're putting your trust in your business, if you're putting your trust in a childhood experience, if you're putting your trust in the fact that you believe God will give you at least a few more years enough to get your act together, forget it. You have heard the gospel message tonight. If you never heard it before, you heard it tonight. And God is under no obligation to ever give it to you again until everybody else in the world has heard it. God is under no obligation to give you this message again until everybody in the world has heard it at least once. If you're not saved tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've been playing games with him, if he has spoken to you and said, lay that down and come and follow me, and you know in your heart tonight that what I'm saying is the truth, you may not understand everything I said, but if you know that what I'm telling you tonight is the truth,
then I urge you, I urge you, I urge you to call upon the name of Jesus tonight and be born again. Jesus said, no man shall ever see the kingdom of God until he be born again. You say, well, Pastor, how does a man get born again? He gets born again by coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I believe that you are God's Son. I believe that you're God in the flesh and you died for my sins. You paid the price for the sins that I committed. You died, you shed your blood, and God raised you from the dead, and you're alive today. And I repent from my sins, and I want you to come into my life and save me and be the Lord of my life. There's no complicated formula. What Jesus says to you tonight is this: sell all that you've been putting your trust in. Sell it. Get rid of it. If you're putting your trust in that, get rid of it. And take up the life of Jesus and follow him. That's the gospel message. That's all you must do. It's not difficult, but it is expensive. It costs everything you got. It costs everything you got. But I'll tell you this, friend. Everything you got isn't worth this compared to what he's got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I'd have known 35 years ago what I known today, I'd have traded all that stuff in way back then instead of accumulating this big pile of stuff that I was putting my trust in. God put his fire to it when I surrendered it to him and the garbage burned up. The rest of it that was any good left, and he returned it to me pure and then multiplied it back. He'd do the same for you. That's the way he works. That's the kind of God we serve. There may be some of you here tonight that have received Jesus as your Savior. You know him as Lord and Savior. But you know also that there's something in your life that hinders you in your relationship with him. And you sense the Spirit of God saying to you tonight, go and sell that junk. Go and turn loose of that and really come and follow me. Really put me first. Come and follow me. I'm going to give you an opportunity to declare that you're going to follow Jesus. I'll not compel you to come, but I'll invite you to come. If you tonight want to follow Jesus, if you don't know if you've ever declared yourself for Jesus, and if you're not sure that you've been born again, if you're not absolutely sure that you've been saved, if you don't know for sure today that if when you leave this service this evening and your number gets called when you're going up Highway 5, if you're not absolutely sure that you're going to go to be with him, then you need to take care of it tonight. Tomorrow may be too late for you. If you're not sure, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make sure tonight. If you know you're saved, but you have been trusting in something else in your life, you say, well, I've known Jesus, I've believed on Jesus, everything you say is right, but there's just something there that I just can't get close to him. I don't have the same kind of relationship with Jesus that you do, and I want to have it. Then I'm going to give you an invitation also to take up the cross of Jesus Christ, to forsake whatever you've been trusting in and follow after him. Now I want you to bow your heads. I want every eye to be closed and every head to be bowed. Every eye closed and every head bowed. Whether you be believer or unbeliever, whether you be born again or not born again, whether you know Jesus as your Savior or not, what you do tonight is between you and him. and anybody else that you choose to reveal it to. But it's a personal matter between you and the Lord. I'm going to ask you now, as you just bowed before Him, if it's your heart's desire to cast something aside in your life, it may be your whole life, and to say, Jesus, I take your cross and I follow you. Jesus, I take your way. I forsake my way and I take yours. And I'm going to follow you. I want you to raise your hand where you are. Jesus, I take your cross and I follow you. Just keep your hands raised. Jesus, I follow you. Lord, help me to lay aside all of these things that have hindered me and let me come to you tonight. Jesus, let me know for sure that I've been saved. Those of you that are already saved, Lord, let me know that I am truly following you. Are there any others?